triggering the crazy left is his specialty. The Brian Rush Show, a news talk at 101, is back.
All right. Welcome back to the Brian Rush Show. And County Commission District number 4, that is going to be up for grabs this November. And one of the things we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we are going to host each one of the candidates. Every single one of them is being invited to come on, talk about who they are, what they're going to do, and why we should select them as the county commission. And joining us this morning is the first of the six. We got six of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Robert Wright, he is joining us this morning. Robert, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Happy to be here and be first. It's always fun to go first.
It is always fun to go first. I like doing that. Let's talk a little bit about who you are, because out of all the people in the race, you are actually a former commissioner.
That's right. I served from 96 to 2000. Once you get out of office, you don't, maybe you're not in an elected position anymore, but you don't ever quit thinking about the county and what's around you and what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. You're always kind of thinking about the politics, and especially if you have love for the community. So tell everybody, who is Robert Wright, and where'd you come from?
Well, I originally came from Georgia. My parents moved here when I was 12, when Thomas Drive was a two-lane road, and I went to Jinx and Bay High School, graduated from Gulf Coast, got into business for myself. I always like to tell the story that I started washing dishes for $1.50 an hour when I was 13 years old at the Little Almond House owned by the Paget family out here on Thomas Drive and the Curve. 10 years later, I was able to buy my first restaurant. I could wash my own dishes. I had the Cheese Barn for a number of years. I had Kay Hall's Deli. As a matter of fact, I sold it to Chris, the gentleman that was deceased recently in the boating accident. It's kind of sad, you know, April 1st of 2021 would have been his 20th year of ownership.
Wow.
And my heart goes out to his family and all that's happened there. But, then I had the Cheese Barn again from 2003 to 2013. Restaurant business is a tough business, but you come in contact with a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's what I like. I like people contact. I'm teaching school now. I've come in contact with 200 and so students every day directly. It's working with those young minds and trying to get them to understand the world they're getting ready to step into, because, see, I deal with mostly seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just months away from stepping out into the world of higher education or maybe the work or whatever, and being able to help them navigate through that is a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're somebody who's able to help literally shape the future with our kids, which that's an awesome role. I mean, it's, you know, you think about the role that you've had as business person, as a father. You know, you've got two kids yourself, so you've molded them, and your son is like a spitting image of you too. It's so funny to see, but. You know, now you got that role as a teacher, and now you want to be back into the role of county commissioner. And tell us why you are the person to be the county commissioner for District 4.
Well, let me give you a quick analogy that I always like to use. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing a shirt today. It's one of my oldest shirts. I love this shirt. It's nice and soft, but it has the Southeastern Football Officials Association on it that I was a part of for 15 years. Refereeing football in high school, I was on the football fields every Friday night for a long time there and enjoyed it. But it's all about perspective. And it's actually a class that I teach in my classrooms. I teach about perspective because mm-hmm. You have five people on the board. They come from five different backgrounds, mostly. They have a different perspective. When you're on the football field, you've got five officials. They're looking at the ball game. They're watching the action. They have differing degrees of experience as officials. They know the rules. They know the game. They know some of the players. It's very much similar to that.
That's an interesting analogy. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
That is kind of cool. So with all the issues that are going on right now, and there's a lot of issues going on in the world, but let's focus obviously on Bay County. Where would you say is one of the top issues that is facing the county, that the county commission would have great input and control over that's happening today?
Well, you know, when I left commission, we had 148,000 people in Bay County.
We've grown a little bit.
We've grown. We're down to 187. Of course, with the hurricane, we lost a few, but it's roughly about 25%. In the same time period, We had 6 million tourists a year when I left office in 2000. Now we have 17 million.
That's a lot.
So, and when you're a commissioner, you don't look at the close numbers. You look at the bigger picture and try to work with all the community, all mm-hmm. the different cities, the school board, all the different boards that you deal with, the TDC especially. The TDC, by the way, has done a wonderful job marketing and bringing Bay County into the focus of average tourists coming yeah. and traveling. But you have to be cognizant of how policies that you make are going to affect that many people. But your county doesn't function like 187,000. It functions like 17 million in some respects. I always wanted to have a friend of mine kind of give me some, he's a statistician. I wanted to kind of tell me how big are we? You know, we're not 187,000 with the influx of 17 million. There's some number in between as to how our function happens. And that's where you have to develop policy. There's a lot of people that don't understand that word policy. I use the analogy of Jell-O. We all like Jell-O.
Mm, I love Jell-O.
Yeah, and you know, you go to the cafeteria and the little round monkey dish, it's got the square, it's red or green or yellow, whatever color you like. And but if you take that piece of Jell-O and you take it and put it up against the wall and put a nail right in the middle of it with a hammer and try to nail that Jell-O to the wall, that's really the best way to think about how public policy is. There's just sometimes there's no real good answer. You just have to strike the course that's the best one you know.
Right. Very good. So what other issues specifically would you say is a big concern of yours that the county commission is overseeing? Is there something that's just topping your list right now? That's a look, man. That's a look.
Well, you know, by the way, I like the studio, but this is kind of different being on the radio like this.
Trying to get used to the studio. It's the new one. This is actually the very first broadcast out of the studio.
Because normally I would have headphones on in the old days. So this is new. So, you know, our environment, I think, is probably one of the biggest things. You know, the recent decision on closing the incinerator.
Mm-hmm.
We were intimately involved in the 90s on making decisions about the incinerator policy-wise then. And, you know, the incinerator was before its time. Realistically, Tampa has an incinerator right now today. It's 7 times larger than ours, and they utilize it all the time. Some of the policy decisions back then, I spent a half a day of my life with the clerk of court, this county attorney, Joey Rogers, the chief financial officer for the county at the time, who I played football with at Bay High School back at Trust, and they gave me the skinny on the incinerator. And the incinerator is a great thing because it reduces garbage by 90%.
Wow, that's a lot.
So if you go to the landfill, right behind the scale house, there's a mountain. It's the largest. You probably see it when you fly over in the planes and stuff. There's the mountain of what's ash, and it's covered up, and that represents 15 years of garbage in Bay County. Remember the 17 million tourists, right?
Right.
So we generate more garbage than 178,000 people.
Yeah.
By far. So if you look at that mountain, and that's 1/9 or 1/10, excuse me, think about if you didn't have the incinerator, you would have 9 more mountains just like that in garbage. And think about the next 15 years, and they're saying we're going to be able to landfill all this for up to 70 years. So now, exponentially, you're talking about 50 of those mounds, just like the one behind the scale house up there. That gets into our groundwater, talks about land use. There's all sorts of things that go on in dealing with garbage, and it's a horrible subject. But
you don't want to talk about trash.
No,
I mean, we all trash talk every now and then, but this is kind of a different trashing.
But the other side of it is, too, is, you know, look at our quality of life and our bay.
Mm-hmm.
When I was commissioner, I managed to put the fight up in Tallahassee to get the permit to open up the old pass. The only person that's got it done so far, and I don't want to brag, but I'm going to tell you, we need somebody up there fighting. I like Bill Dozier a lot. And I've been on his butt before on the telephone telling him, Bill, you need to be more forceful.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first things I want to do is I want to go to Tallahassee and I want to find out why is it taking so long. You know, we just need to get that thing open. The hydraulics of our bay, the dynamics of our bay. You know, Apalachicola has the Apalachicola River that feeds into the Apalachicola Bay. Choctahatchee Bay is fed by the Choctahatchee River. These are interstate rivers. We don't have an interstate river. All of our water comes naturally from our drainage basins right here in Bay County.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the most pristine bay, or had one. I worry sometimes about the potential for contamination in the bay that's not left yet because
right.
the, the flow is not enough. You have to have hydrologic pressure there, flow. It kind of gets complicated, but I studied that for 2 years. Loved it. I mean,
well, it's great too that you actually have this type of knowledge. And you know, normally when we talk with candidates, it's kind of just a blanket. Here's what I want to do, but you're actually coming with some solutions about this.
And you know, obviously, some of the information I have is antiquated,
right?
But then I also look forward and say, you know, what's the future going to be? What's the vision here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not going to stay at 17 million tourists. We're going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
TDC does a wonderful job. They have, I have them involved in my classroom at school. We actually have a hospitality fair at my school, and the students actually report on what the TDC does. And it's quite fun, but we integrate with them, and I know how they operate. I like what they do. And but we can't set aside and just say, well, then we're just going to let it happen. No, you got to plan for that future. And we know we're going to have to take the fight to Tallahassee for money. We know that we got to have to take the fight to Washington. We hired a lobbyist when I was in office. I know that's a bad, ugly word.
Yeah,
but
it is,
you know,
nowadays.
Well, but look at it like this. If you don't have a lobbyist, you don't get any money. In 97, we went to fight for money for the Thomas Drive intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Washington, D.C. We had supposedly the support of our two congressmen, Alan Boyd and Joe Scarborough. They were going to give us our entire allocation, $35 million. Well, that was under conditions by the Republicans up there in Washington at the time that both men voted for this bill, and they voted for special projects. Well, they voted against it. They lied to us. Joe Scarborough lied to us. Boyd lied to. Well, they lied. They just flat out lied. And then, but our lobbyists, we pay $90,000 a year for this lobbyist back then, which is a lot of money. But they got us $11 million for the Thomas Drive intersection. That started the ball rolling of getting more funding for the not only the Thomas Drive intersection, but eventually the Hathaway Bridge. And now look at the 23rd Street overpass. It's just about finished. And people say, well, it took 20 years. No, no. We've been fighting the battle for 13 years when I got elected. We just finally got a solution, and it took a little bit longer because we've been kind of standing in the way for a while.
Right. God, that's crazy. What about the talking about improvements and everything? How about the CRI? What are some of your thoughts about that with the, because I mean, this is a confusing topic that I think a lot of people don't quite understand. What are some of your thoughts on the CRA and going forward with it in the future?
See, now this is where history pays well. I served on the Downtown Improvement Board in the 80s when I owned the cheese barn down there in the mini mall. I served on the CRA board with Mr. Lewis and Mr. Don Crisp and Bain Collins and a lot of other people back then. I knew exactly what CRAs were supposed to do. It's unfortunate that once I got unelected in 2000, the new commissioners that didn't have the experience, didn't have the knowledge, allowed the CRA on the beach to just happen the way it did. You know, those things do expire.
Right.
They've done a good job. I'm not sure some of the things I would agree with totally, but that's their board and their decisions to make. But, you know, they're taking away money from the urban areas, the rural areas of Bay County, the part that I represent, you know, the Fountain and the Youngstown and the eastern part of Bay County. Those monies are not being utilized in those areas that could be. So it makes it tough on the county when you're talking about the budget.
Yeah. Speaking of the budget, one of the big controversies going on right now is the millage rate. And I had Commissioner Griffiths on a few weeks back, and we talked a little bit about that. The initial number that came out was we're going to set the bar really high and then lower it, you know, which I think unfortunately freaked out a lot of people because they saw that millage rate and went, why, you know, and freaked out. What are some of your thoughts on the millage rate and where it should be?
Well, you have to remember, they have to propose that months in advance.
Right.
And it's based on a budget that's anticipated and revenues that are anticipated. And, you know, it shocked me when I opened up my notice from Dan Sowell saying how much my taxes were going to go up. And I'm like, well, what happened here? And I saw that millage rate, 20%. And I'm like, wait a minute. But it seems to me, I believe they've changed it now.
Yeah.
But there was some across the board increases in values that Mr. Sowell instituted. I think 10% was the going rate. That'll help bring some additional revenues in. You know, it's just tough right now out there when, you know, we've all cut back on our own spending,
right?
In our own lives, and government has to learn how to do that too. Sometimes the correct answer is no. You don't like it, It's like when I called football. I called a touchdown back one night against the team that I actually go to teach at that school now, at Arnold High School. But this was years ago. I called this guy for holding in the end zone. And everybody fussed at me and raised heck at me. And the next play, they actually scored a touchdown again. So it all turned out okay. But the father and I were friends, the guy that did the holding. He got on to me and he says, "Hey, you know, what are you calling my kid for holding?" I said, "Well, you go look at the film. He held him." And I said, "You know, I don't make the calls that I like. I make the calls I have to make." And that's budgeting. You have to make a directive. You have to give leadership to your staff and tell them what you expect.
Right.
And that's part of the deal.
So that's another good question, too. When we hear a lot of talk coming from the commission, and you hear this a lot, too, you know, up in Washington and D.C., you hear the word staff. And there seems to be a lot of reliance on staff. And obviously, you know, the staff does a lot of research and does, you know, phone calls and all this other stuff. What would your level of reliance on just going with whatever the staff says, where would that be? I mean, are you a, okay, thanks for doing all your research, this is going to be, or are you somebody that's going to go, all right, thanks, but I'm also going to look on my own?
I've always been credited with doing my own research. You know, you got to trust your people that work for you.
Right.
But you also have to keep them honest, too, and ask them questions. Like the question I would ask on the incinerator right now, all right, so we're going to abandon the incinerator, and we're going to start building all these Indian mounds out there in Steelfield with garbage in them. So what's going to be the case with the incinerator? Why? You know, it's not just the incinerator, Brian. It's the entire solid waste system.
Right.
And there's big things out there that you have to deal with as commissioner that you might not even want to deal with. One of the beauties of it is that you can kind of pick and choose the things that are really important to you, and especially your district, like roads and District 4 is a big thing. You know, we paved, I don't know how many hundreds of miles years ago with digital technology. For years, everybody said, well, there's 600 miles of dirt roads in Bay County.
Mm-hmm.
When we developed the GIS system that everybody uses now when they go on their Google Maps and stuff like that, we actually discovered we didn't have that many miles of dirt roads. So it made the problem more approachable, more reasonable, more practical, and you could set a plan on it. Who can set a plan for 600 miles when you've got 160 real miles?
Right.
So, you know, between your staff and the technology, you have to still do the investigating on your own, the reasoning skills, the perspective, again,
right,
of what you bring to the table.
Well, that's different because too many politicians are like, yep, whatever the staff says, let's go with it. So that is refreshing. What other topics or issues are really meaning a lot to you right now in the county that you see probably need to be addressed?
Well, you know, economic development is a watchword that all the politicians use, and we spend a lot of money. And I'm not so certain that we get the results. I don't know that we get the bang for the buck that we should.
Yeah.
People are
still screaming Red Pine.
Well, you know, I made a trip one time to Tampa as a county commissioner, and I was invited by the Holland Cruise Lines people down there, and then I didn't know it, but it was a sales pitch. But it gave me an opportunity to talk to the Holland Cruise Lines people about potentially locating a cruise ship here in Bay County. I thought it'd be cool to have a cruise ship here at the port.
Right.
People could come to Panama City Beach, spend 3 or 4 days at the beach, and get on a cruise ship and go somewhere. I learned about the Jones Act of 13, whatever, about how that whole industry works. I learned about how they had closed up cruise ships in different parts of the country because of lack of market. I still felt strongly that we had a market here because of the 6 million tourists, and now look at 17 million. It may be time to revisit bringing a cruise ship into Bay County.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool down the end of the Panama City Marina.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have vision. You got to have thoughts like that. You know, the Waterfront Partnership in St. Andrews today is a result of an article that I fed to my friend Charlie Gonzalez. Charlie was our GIS coordinator back in the day, and he lived in St. Andrews, where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this article one day in the mail, and I says, Waterfront Partnerships, what is this? And I started reading it more. I read about it. I said, hey, Charlie, I said, you need to talk to Nancy Wingle. And right now, the success of St. Andrews is tied to that Waterfront Partnership that was years ago, and it's just paying attention to things and asking questions and trying to get things moving.
Yeah, sometimes it is about asking some questions. Which is why I love having the candidates on here so we can actually really, truly pick people's brains when it comes to things, because today mine's shutting down, so it makes it more convenient to have.
Well, you're in a new environment here. I don't understand.
I am. I'm so confused today, and you know, I didn't get much sleep last night either. But what else is there that you think really? Is there anything else that you think needs to be addressed?
Well, integrity. You know, it's been unfortunate that we've had, and still will have, more things come out.
Yeah, that brings up a good question too. And I know a lot of people, this is top of mind right now because of, one, the person who had that seat, Keith Baker, resigned due to the fraud and a lack of integrity. And we're seeing that with Mayor Anderson in Lynn Haven and the city attorney. And as we all know, because the prosecutor point blank said it, there's more to come. You are a former commissioner. This may be something that comes across somebody's mind. Okay, well, you know, does this mean that you're connected up with all the good old boys? Does this mean that, you know, we're going to be able to trust you? You know, what is your answer to somebody who might have that concern about you being somebody who was in the mix before? In the olden days, for the good old boy days, how would you answer that?
Look at the money. If you look at the money in the races that I've been involved with, and you look at the money in this race, I'm going to raise what I think it takes to win. I'm just going to raise money because I'm part of this group or that group. I've been outraised 2-1 and still split the votes with George Gaynor, 149 votes out of 48,000 in 2002. You know, money's going to play a role. You have to have money to get your message out.
Right.
Not everybody's going to pay attention. Not everybody's going to listen. You have to touch the voter 5 times. But here's the thing. You can't let that money rule you.
Right.
One of the reasons I only lasted 4 years was, well, I made a lot of people mad. In 1997, there was a meeting that the Chamber of Commerce and Joe Chapman and Charlie Hilton, rest their souls, they were all out at the college out there. It was the Bay County Commission acting as the Bay County Bridge Authority, and it had been in existence for 13 years, since 84. And they were going to build a toll bridge there where Hathaway Bridge is. And I was just totally opposed to it. The people that I was working with and getting information from, they told me that if we did that, that the DOT was going to go straight to Fort Walton and start working on the bridge over there, and then to Pensacola next.
Mm-hmm.
That they were just waiting for us to just do something. Well, there was a lot of vested interest involved. There were a lot of people who were going to make a lot of money off Bay County if they're going to make that bridge. And look at it like this. They were going to spend $217 million.
Whew.
My math told me that what they were proposing for tolls would not have paid for that. And so what would have happened had been like Mid Bay Bridge. If anybody drives across Mid Bay Bridge in Destin,
that toll
it started
keeps going
out
up.
As a dollar.
Yeah.
Now it's gone to $5.
God, that's
or
crazy.
It's going to $5. And they sell the entity out. So now all the money that's collected in Destin, Florida goes south. And that would be the same case here.
Yeah, we don't need that.
And the chamber stood up and said, build a bridge. And Charlie Hilton stood up and said, build a bridge. And Joe Chapman stood up and said, build a bridge. And I put together a 9-point motion that won 3 critical votes to say no. And look what happened. The results were, DOT was started scrambling. We started putting no passing lanes on the bridge. We got more focused on the problem. We also luckily got Alan Bentz in office then. He ran and won the seat as being the head of the House Representatives. He helped us tremendously. So did my friend Earl Durden.
Yeah.
Earl was really the reason we got those 2 new bridges, because he knew how to play those kind of politics. And,
right.
And we need people that understand it, but they also can maintain their perspective. Again, see, it goes back to that.
It does. So we're chatting with Robert Wright. He's the candidate for County Commissioner District Number 4, and I got about 30 seconds. Tell everybody how they can find you online to get more information about you, contact you, to find out more about why they should pick you for county commissioner.
Well, they can find me on Facebook, obviously, Robert M. Wright. That's my personal one. I've got Robert Wright for District 4 County Commissioner. You can search it out and find it out. There's ways to contact me there. I'm the only guy that ever advertised my telephone number. I've had the same phone number for 20 years, so if you had it 20 years ago, you still got it today. But it's fun to make contact with people. I don't mind at all. It may take me a little time to get back to you, but I certainly will.
Awesome. Well, Robert Wright, I wish you best of luck with this race. It's going to be a big one. There's 6 candidates and a lot at stake, because we need some good people in the commission.
Well, thank you, and I hope everybody will please get out and vote on that day. And vote for the candidate of their choice, and make this country great again.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Brian Rush Show. Thanks, Robert, for coming in. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a second. It's The Brian Rush Show on News Talk at 101.